Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, with a reminder that Basic Gospel is a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, a very special guest joins us once again at Basic Gospel. He's Larry Alex Taunton, columnist, cultural communicator, and author. Regular Basic Gospel listeners will remember that Larry visited with us previously as we discussed his book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. And Mr. Taunton is also the founder and executive director of Fixed Point Foundation, being focused on and has been featured on some of the biggest names in national media, right here on Basic Gospel as well. So, Larry, once again, welcome to Basic Gospel.
How are you, gentlemen?
We're fantastic, Larry. And this month, one of the reasons we wanted you to be a part of our broadcast is we're talking about apologetics. And I know as the executive director of Fixed Point Foundation, the mission there is to defend and proclaim the gospel in the secular marketplace and equip others to do the same. That has been your calling for many, many years. You have arranged debates between atheists and Christians. You've debated atheists. Your friend Christopher Hitchens, I just watched that debate earlier today, and we think you have something to say to us on this subject of apologetics. And one of the things that I want to do to introduce you to our listeners today is to quote from a post that you put out here recently. And it says this: to stand strong for one's faith in Jesus Christ and push back against a culture that, in the words of Isaiah 5:20, calls evil good and good evil, is to be divisive, unloving, bigoted, and intolerant. This is because evangelicals have confused Christ's command to love others with being likable, as if that were an attribute of God. It isn't. As such, they endeavor to be, above all else, inoffensive and polite. This doctrinal malpractice has given us a generation of men who are what Lewis called men without chest. That's your observation of the church today, isn't it? And one of the reasons that the gospel is not having the impact that it should have in the culture at large.
Well, it really is, and I think it's because Christians have been bullied into silence, and the result of that is that they are just not engaging the way they should, and have become far too timid and not really recognizing the fact. I mean, this is kind of the story, the metaphor of the elephant that's held to the ground with a wooden peg, not really understanding their real strength. I mean, evangelical Christians alone in this country number 26% of the population. That's, one in four, as we all learned in elementary school. And the ability of evangelicals to impact this country is tremendous, were they to do more than just vote every 4 years.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. How do we gain some conviction? How do we change this? And boy, this has been a slow decline, and sometimes a rapid decline as far as the convictions of the church within the culture today. How do we go about changing that? I know Fixed Point is doing its part. You're doing your part. Love your tweet yesterday. Evangelicals need to stop being wimps. How do we stop being wimps?
Well, the article you're referencing is on the Fox News website, or you can go to my own website, LarryAlexTaunton.com. But yes, it's titled "Evangelicals Need to Stop Being Wimps," and that piece is really getting massive circulation, much more than I had anticipated. This The Blaze published an article yesterday about it, and it's appeared all over the web and all over Twitter. And something that gives me a lot of encouragement, guys, because I anticipated a lot more pushback on that article, but it was a bit of a trial balloon to see if, as I theorized, Christians in this country are really sick and tired of what is happening, and that they're really longing for a bolder Christianity and that they're really longing for leadership, but just by and large aren't getting it. I mean, we're seeing populism of a sort that includes, let's say, conservatives who may or may not be Christian in the political process. But what about a Christian populism? That is, Christians who are ready to engage and just aren't getting clear direction. And I think one of the ways to get beyond this is to become more Bible-centric. The kind of pushback that I did get on this article was generally from people who had very distorted notions of love, distorted notions of diversity, distorted notions of anger. Those are all things, characteristics that we see in Scripture. But when you remove them from their biblical context, you know, you become all sail, no anchor. And here's what I mean by this. Love that has a proper biblical framework understands that you don't just simply embrace everything and everybody. There is a context to that. There's a framework for that. But Christians not really having a proper understanding of what love is from a biblical point of view found themselves really outmaneuvered by the gay lobby, who just continually, whenever anyone would be opposed to their sordid sexual agenda, they would just say, well, you're not very loving. That's not very Christian. And it seems that the Christians themselves were far too easily outmaneuvered with this kind of argument. In a similar way, notions of tolerance, that, you know, there is a biblical notion of that. 1 Corinthians 12 gives us a picture of that. And speaking of spiritual gifts that are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. But if you remove tolerance from that context, then you end up what we have in our culture, which is tolerance for tolerance sake.
You know, Jesus, you know, the real problem, as Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, is that we're dead in our transgressions and sins. There is a disconnect that man has with God. We're spiritually dead. And no matter how men, the lost world, frame, you know, their way of life and want us to approve their way of life, Jesus will never, ever, ever be okay with spiritual death. He came that we might have life. And one of the things that we see through Basic Gospel is that we have a very shallow understanding of what this good news is all about, what Jesus actually came to solve in our lives. Yes, we were sinners in need of forgiveness, but we had a much deeper problem, the fact that we were dead and that we need life. And I think when we can draw some deep convictions about why Jesus came and what he has to offer, that can equip us to engage the culture. The reason that I'm not okay with the sins of the world, because I know underlying that is a deeper condition. And as Jesus is not okay with spiritual death, I don't think we as believers need to be okay with spiritual death. And I think we need to stand up and give the good news that can solve those problems.
Well, I think you're right. And what we're seeing taking place in our culture right now, in the Western world, honestly, is really the 1930s are being played out all over again. To give your listeners some context for what I mean, historical context, the 1930s saw the advancement by huge leaps and bounds of two great enemies of freedom and democracy, and those are fascism and communism. And while those two ideologies were engulfing much of the world, a pacifistic dream engulfed much of the Western democracies that believed that these were things that could be negotiated with, that these were people who were acting out of rational self-interest. Well, it seems to me that something very similar is happening today, and only this time it's an aggressive secularism, which is plowing the soil and making it very fertile in the West for an insidious religion like Islam, which is not a peaceful religion at all, which is slaughtering Christians globally, or rather Christians are dying globally at a rate of 100,000 a year for their faith, mostly at the hands of Muslims. And this goes largely unreported and undiscussed in the West, just as we're opening our borders and allowing people who do not share our values to cross them. And it seems to me that the church, which could be a powerful voice on these kinds of issues, to say nothing of, as I mentioned before, the sordid sexual agenda of the cultural left, that instead of really engaging on these things, as Christ has called us to do, and being salt and light and fulfilling the Great Commission, it seems to me that we're spending our time on the treadmill in the Family Life Center, preferring to see the world through rose-colored stained glass windows.
I like that. I'm thinking of the coffee bar, you know, just getting our coffee just flavored exactly right and making sure that it's just the way we like it, so we can, interact and talk about all these superficial things that most of us do when we attend church. But, you know, this really is a life that we've been called to. One of our taglines here is to hear, believe, and live. That so many folks are content to just hear the good news. Some are content to say, I believe this, but very few want to see this lived out in their day-to-day lives. And I mean in their families, in their workplace, in their communities, in their towns, in their states, and in their country. But here in America, we're certainly given that freedom to express, to bring our faith to the marketplace, but we're shrinking back from that. And you have so well written about that and talked about that. And I think more voices like you need to stand up and encourage believers to move forward, to live it out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, I agree totally with that. And again, I think really the solution here is returning not to scriptural notions, but to scripture, scriptural principles, so that we have a better idea of what the red letters really say. Because people have cherry-picked scripture, and they've invented a Jesus, a very feminized Jesus that is not in harmony with the biblical Jesus. And hence, we find ourselves really not engaging the world the way that we should. And, I think Christians, we all have to take ownership of the fact that if Hollywood doesn't reflect our values, or many times government or the academy, that is to say educational systems, that if these things don't reflect our values, it's because we by and large have abandoned it. Because again, we represent just the evangelical population, 25% of the culture. We should be making more of an impact here than we are.
Yeah, I think people should be able to look at the Christian world and say, that's a lot different than I see anywhere else. Bob?
Yeah, I just wanted to let our listeners know that this is a special edition as we visit with columnist, cultural commentator, and author Larry Alex Taunton on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, thanking you for joining us, and, well, let's continue with our conversation.
Yes, indeed. Well, I certainly want to encourage our listeners to bookmark this website, LarryAlexTaunton.com.
Yeah.
You'll be able to get Larry's blog posts and articles that he writes and other things that he does. Just follow what he's doing out there in the world. I think you'll be blessed by that. Again, the website, LarryAlexTaunton.com. LarryAlexTaunton.com. Well, Larry, you mentioned the idea of love, and I think out there in the world we have a biblical notion of love, but we're really not sure what the Scripture says about love. I wrote a little book on this called Love Is, and it's just a look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. You know, in our English language, we see love is patient, love is kind, and that gives us warm fuzzies as we describe what love is. But those words in Greek aren't adjectives. Those are present tense, active verbs, and it's more of a roll up the sleeves and get into action type of word than a warm, fuzzy type of word. That's what the biblical definition is of love is all about, and we're afraid to do that. We shrink back from that, and I think that's one of the great problems that we're seeing out there in the world today.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that, and that just comes back to the whole idea of really divorcing these principles from Scripture, so that we really don't have a complete picture of what it is, and so we think it, you know, better policy to affirm someone in their sin rather than, which is what love would really be, to speak truth to them, and hopefully respectfully and gently when that is called for. You know, but there are times where Jesus chose to go in and turn over the tables of the money lenders.
Yes, he did.
And to defend his own name. And these are, you know, these are things that Christians, it just seems to me, it was funny because some of the pushback I received, guys, in response to this article, and again, you know, 98 out of 100 responses were very positive. But those that were negative were people who would say this isn't loving. The notion of righteous anger isn't biblical, and that just blows my mind that people can arrive at that particular conclusion. We certainly see a righteous anger in our God, both in the Old Testament and in our Lord in the New Testament. And I'll have to tell you guys, if there are things that are happening in the world today that don't fill us with anger. The statistic I just shared with you regarding the global persecution and slaughter of Christians, the 54 million children that have been aborted since Roe v. Wade legalized abortion in 1973, human trafficking, the human degradation, injustice, if these things don't anger us, there's something very wrong with us. And I love what Charles Spurgeon says. He says you would sin by not being angry about them. And so it seems to me that Christians in this country need to dispense with warm and fuzzy, as you put it, notions of love and begin to proclaim the truth of the gospel.
Yeah, because you know, if somebody that you love has been diagnosed with cancer, you're going to absolutely hate and get angry at what you're going to see that cancer do to your loved one. And when we look out there in the world and we're seeing what this human trafficking is doing, what the abortion issue is doing, as you said, 100,000 Christians being martyred for their faith every year. That's 11 per hour, folks. 11 Christians being killed every single hour of every single day, and that number's going to increase. If we don't get angry at the consequences of sin, seeing what sin is and then seeing what sin is doing, as Satan said, he came to steal, to kill, and destroy, and that's what it does. And if we're just standing and sitting back and watching all of that happen as if it's no big deal, then we haven't had our hearts truly aligned with what the gospel is all about. We don't know what the grace of God has really done in our lives to set us free from that, to reach in and snatch us out of that that kingdom of sin and darkness and put us in to Jesus Christ, where we can represent this new life that is available to all, because that is the cure, that is the solution. But we have to realize that this isn't a game. This isn't just, whoever chooses this or that. This is really spiritual life and death, isn't it?
It really is. And I just couldn't say it. I couldn't say it any better than that. I just add an amen.
Well, thank you for that. But Larry, we really appreciate what you're doing. Let me ask a question, maybe pivot a little bit. You spend a lot of time with students, and you're trying to equip students to defend the faith. What do you see lacking in the students that you meet with initially, and what is your hope in the work that you do with them? Do they seem to be solid in their understanding of who Jesus is, what the Bible claims about Jesus? Do they have a solid understanding that the Word is authoritative in their lives, or are they a little fuzzy on all that?
It's a mixed bag, but to your point, we do something every year, every summer, called the Fixed Point Institute for Applied Apologetics. And this is something that we take applications for. You can go to our website and email us and ask us about this. We take applications and we interview students. It's not summer camp. We interview students to see their qualifications for this and their suitability for it. Do they really have a passion to serve Jesus Christ? And then we endeavor to help them to couple their chosen profession, or maybe help them decide what their gifts really are, and then couple those gifts with their faith in Jesus Christ, that they might be salt and light in the world. And we do this in Europe, where they can really see what a world looks like absent, in some instances, of God's grace. My experience, the millennial crowd is a pretty tough crowd, and some of the kids who are coming up, often what you will see, and obviously there are exceptions to this, but they're the very things we've been talking about in spades. Often a lack of a work ethic or a sense of entitlement, and often very cozy notions of who God is, viewing God as something of a cosmic Santa Claus. And having had, for the most part, if we're speaking of American kids, experienced America at the peak of its prosperity, without wars that affected us, here at home in any real meaningful way. I don't trivialize the war on terror or the Persian Gulf War, but these aren't things that fundamentally changed life in this country the way World Wars One and Two did. The result of that is they often have very charming notions of the world as a place, and the result is not always a real understanding of what evil is. And I think this is necessary, that we understand these things as Christians, as we seek to engage on the big issues of our time, because otherwise you will approach these things the way we were discussing earlier in this conversation, that you tend to assume that the problems are really just a result of a lack of understanding, when sometimes that's not the case.
Well, we just have about a minute, Larry. If you could speak to one listener out there, what would you say to that listener as far as their convictions, their heart? What would be your advice in just a couple of short sentences?
Well, I would just say trust in God's sovereignty. Sovereignty is one of the great doctrines, when it is coupled with the knowledge that our God is a loving and gracious God, that in the midst of great uncertainty, we just trust in the fact that He is in control.
Well, Larry, as always, thanks for being with us on today's broadcast. For those who are interested in finding out more about Larry Taunton, visit his website at LarryAlexTaunton.com. That's LarryAlexTaunton.com. And, Larry, we'll look forward to doing this again sometime in the future. And best wishes to you as you continue to defend the faith and encourage believers out there to be men with conviction who engage the culture with the good news of Jesus Christ. God bless you, my friend.
Thanks,
Thank
Larry.
You, guys. Listen, you take care.
Thanks. Many times you've heard the compelling reasons for Basic Gospel to be on the air and online, and I think you've heard it today as well. So this message that you hear each day is making a difference in people's lives, and we hope you will extend the love of Jesus that He has given you by helping Basic Gospel to share His love with others. And when you do, we have a very special gift for you. You can request it as you make your gift to Basic Gospel by clicking Donate at BasicGospel.net. Again, that's Donate at BasicGospel.net. Now, with special thanks to Larry Taunton and to you for being with us today, I would remind you also that his website is LarryAlexTaunton.com, and that's our program for today. So for Bob and Richard and the ministry staff, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow for an interactive edition of Basic Gospel. We hope you'll have your questions ready. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.